Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're glad you're here to kick off July. It's the dog days of summer, so nothing better than to chill out with a great trip report, and that's what we've got here. Holly's joining us in just a second to talk about her great Disney trip. Well, right now, it's the most patriotic time of the year. 4th of July coming up later this week. And if you want to talk about a patriot, somebody who loved the United States of America, you're talking Walt Disney. One of our sponsors can bring you closer to Walt Disney. It's author Jeff Barnes and his books, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt and The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You can read about this American icon and how he turned his dreams into reality, took animation, which he was an expert at, and turned that into a three-dimensional experience for us to walk through and experience out at Disneyland, and then how he wanted to make his dreams even bigger and bring that to a new audience on the East Coast with the newest book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. In these books, you also get little lessons that Walt left us about our relationships and getting the most out of those around us, including friends, family, and co-workers. So if you want to get in the American spirit, I advise you to drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. It is also distinctly unpatriotic to stand in line at your next Disney or Universal vacation, and that's where our friends over at touringplans.com come in. They can save you time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal trip. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of basically a couple of all-American turkey legs, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1350 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. And like I said, welcome to July. I can't believe it. It's already July, but it's a great thing because I'm at Walt Disney World right now. So you know when I'm down there, I love to share my trip. So make sure you're following along on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And make sure you have the Facebook page liked because we're going to be putting lots of live videos up there as well. It's facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And if you're down there for the 4th in a couple days here at Epcot, we're going to be hanging out. Pam Forrester, a bunch of us, we're going to be at Epcot. I don't know where exactly we'll be. We'll probably decide at about 10 o'clock at night. So come by and see us. We're going to have a great time. We'd love to see you. All right. Today, we've got a great trip report to get your week started the right way. Hopefully, it's a short one for you. Holly's joining us from Colorado. Nothing more American than the mountains of Colorado. How's it going, Holly?
Good. It's hot out here in July.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how hot it is in Central Florida right now, too, where I'm at? It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, but I'm jealous of you, so have fun with it.
Lots of pools. You know, lots of ways to cool down. So, all right, so we've got a great trip report. And this one, you know, it's going to be fun to talk about. And I know we try to keep the show to about 30 to 40 minutes, but this one's going to be tough because we're talking about a Disney wedding, and you had 60. Let's get that right. That's not 16. That's 60. Guests that you were trying to get all corralled here for the wedding. So first of all, congratulations on the Disney wedding.
Thank you.
All right. So let's talk about this. When did the wedding take place? And then kind of take a step back and talk to us about when you decided that it had to be a Disney wedding. Because I think that's every bride's dream.
Oh, boy. It definitely was my dream. So the wedding was September 5th, 2017. So we're coming up on a year. But it was definitely my dream, and I did anything and everything to try to make it work. I did so much research and planning, and we went back and forth. Can we do a Disney wedding? Can't we do a Disney wedding? And then at that time, they had a package called the Mini Wishes Package. And unfortunately, it's gone now, but I was able to do that, and we could actually afford that package. And somehow we pulled it off, and we convinced our family and friends to go, and we had the most amazing time.
You know what I'm trying to do right now is figure out how to block this so that Paige and Mallory can never hear this podcast because this poor dad can't afford it.
You just call me and I will help you because you can make it happen. Paige and Mallory, give me a call. I will get you there.
You're killing me. Two daughters are going to, I mean, they're already breaking me and they haven't even started to worry about that kind of stuff. And I'm already broke. So anyway, so let's, how is the planning? You guys obviously worked with Disney weddings. So what's that experience like?
It was great. So you are set up with a consultant and you talk to them and you get everything planned. And once you book, then you have a wedding planner assigned to you and then they go more into detail. And it was really awesome. We did a lot over email and the phone since I'm in Colorado. But we were lucky enough. It was kind of the year of Disney. We made a trip in October of 2016 with my family. That trip was actually already planned, but my husband had proposed to me before we went. So then we decided to meet with the consultant and we got to go see a couple venues, and that was awesome. And then just Maurice and I, my husband, we went back in February of 2017 and we got to go to Franck's, there where they plan all the weddings, and meet with the wedding planner and the florist and taste cake and do all that, which was a lot of fun. So we weren't sure if we were going to be able to make that happen, but we did. And so that was really awesome. And then we went back, of course, in September for the wedding. And I learned from your podcast about how you can book a package on your first trip, and then when you're in Disney World, go ahead and update your passes to annual passes. And I crunched the numbers and it made sense since we were going to be there for three trips within a year. And so we did that. And so thanks for that tip.
Anytime, it's why we're here. And you're going to give a lot of great tips for future Disney brides. That's why I love the show. It's kind of it's fun to relive it, like in our mind's eye. I'm always picturing like what it looked like, what it was, you know, what it was like to experience it. But then again, you know, hopefully we're giving some good tips. Now, I was going to ask you about that because I remember when we got married, you know, it's been 12 years now, but I remember that we went around St. Louis and went to different venues where we're going to have either the wedding or the reception. And like you said, we checked on the flowers, and I remember we went to a lot of wedding receptions and they'd like take you back in the kitchen so you could taste the food, you know, during else's reception, but you didn't get in their way. But it was, you know, that was an exciting time. So you got to go to Walt Disney World to do these kind of things. So was that something you look back on and say, you know what, that was such a unique and cool thing to be able to not only take these trips leading up to the wedding, but also just the planning has to be really cool because you're getting to see, as a Disney fan, you're getting to see a side of Disney that few people probably do see.
Oh, yeah, that whole year was amazing. And I love to plan. And then I love to plan Disney trips. But this was, like my brother said, I graduated Disney grad school by planning this trip, because not only was it a wedding, but it was a trip for 60 of my closest family and friends. So that was great. But yeah, speaking of tasting your food, they took us from Franck's, which is by the wedding pavilion at the Grand Floridian. And the wedding planner drove us backstage behind Epcot. And we got to go in the kitchen that they have there, that they do all the food for their events. And we got to go sit at a table in the kitchen, and the chef cooked us up all these different things that we said we wanted to try. And that was amazing.
So are there other bride and grooms there? Is it like a group event, or is it something they do just for you? Because I'd imagine there's a lot of, you know, like if you have chefs cooking meals, do they schedule like, so it's just like a whole bunch of, you know, future brides and stuff?
It was actually just for us. So it was just my husband, me, and the wedding planner. Wow. And then they just fed us all the food. It was great. It was really great.
That's a dream. That's
awesome. Yeah. And really, depending on Paige and Mallory, where you get married, they will take you to a different place to try your food. So if you're in Epcot, then you'll go to that kitchen. If you're in the wedding or pavilion or around there for the reception and the Grand Floridian or something, they'll take you to a ballroom over there to try the food. So yeah, so you get to have your own private tasting.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of the Holiday Inn in St. Louis with some muscatelli for the reception. That's kind
well,
of
that works.
That works. It's all, you know, because I was actually fortunate enough to be in Jay and Melissa, two of our listeners that actually met on one of the podcast cruises. They had their wedding at Seabreeze Point over at the Boardwalk. And Mallory got to be the flower girl. I was a groomsman. Aww. Ricky was a bridesmaid. It was amazing. Like, I love being at the Disney World. I mean, seriously, if you, because I'm kind of emotional. Sometimes the fireworks shows, it gets a little dusty, you know, and I get something in my eye, you know, and being in a Disney wedding for true friends like that, it was amazing. So I couldn't imagine what it would be like, you know, to be the bride and groom. So we're going to get to that in just a second because I want to say that. But what's it like, you know, with a destination wedding, especially going someplace like Walt Disney World for 60 people, what was that like getting the word out and just coordinating everybody to get them down to Central Florida?
It was interesting. Because not everyone is a planner like I am. So it was hard to explain to non-Disney people that we have to know if you want to eat with us on these nights or not 6 months in advance. By the way, are you going to ride these rides with us 60 days in advance? So that was difficult, but you know, we had a lot of fun with it. We made a Facebook page and we invited everyone. And then my husband, he does video production. So we have a green screen and we have all the equipment. And so we made these really fun videos to explain why you want to make your dining reservations 180 days in advance and what you do with magic bands and what are fast passes, just pretty much everything you can imagine. We made little videos so that we had a lot of fun with that. And I think our guests really benefited from that. And then I made schedules for the whole week. And I just kind of said, okay, this is where the bride and groom will be. If you'd like to join us, please do. And if you want to do other things, feel free and meet us for dinner or whatever you want to do. So we made these cute little booklets that had our whole schedule in it. And we mailed those out to everyone that was coming. And then with my husband's family, I had Disney meetings with them because they hadn't been before. And they were really cute. They humored me with my Disney meetings, but they took notes and did everything. But I had a blast. I had a lot of fun with all of it.
It sounds like when I was teaching like an in-service, you know, like today's the Disney in-service day. We're going to, you know, by the time we walk out of here, you're going to know X, Y, and Z. You're going to know how this
exactly.
Works. That sounds so cool, though. And, you know, if I had to give anybody advice on just, you know, for folks out there that are listening today that are planning a wedding or thinking about planning a wedding, Disney or not, and I think it's really true, I can hear it in your voice, that you really need to savor and enjoy the planning and the time leading up to the wedding, you know, because you're most likely not going to ever do this again. And I know it gets so stressful. I mean, it seems like every decision is life or death. I remember that. I mean, you know, it's like, what color is everything got to be, you know, because the flowers have to match the dresses and all. But the thing is, you got to enjoy each other and enjoy the process, because it was a lot of fun looking back. But I remember how stressed we were. But it all works out. And especially, it sounds like it really worked out for you guys, too.
Yeah, it all works out. And my mom had said when we started, she said, we're not going to get stressed out. We're going to have fun with this. Or, you know, why are we even doing it? And we had a lot of fun. My mom helped me a lot, even with the trip planning, because we did wake up at, we both took the day off 180 days before the start of the wedding week. And we were up at 4 a.m. making dining reservations for everyone.
Nice. That sounds like my life every day. it's fun. I love it. Okay. So tell us about, I just want to make sure we get all this in. So we've talked about a little bit about the planning. But talk to us about arrival down at Walt Disney World. You get there, your guests start trickling in and getting there. So walk us through the pre-wedding stuff, but at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, well, so the arrival was interesting because we had 18 people on our flight going from Colorado to Florida. And then we have more people meeting us there. And so we were all really excited meeting at the airport. And we were going to go to Disney Springs for dinner that night. But unfortunately, of course, because it's my wedding and we have so many people on the flight, they decided to delay the flight for 5 hours.
Oh, man, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. And no one knew until we got to the airport. So we were there. And it was very interesting, but you know, we made the best of it. And my family still says today that, you know, it was kind of fun because they got to bond a little bit more with my husband's family, and we spent time in the airport. And actually, I had brought some pins to give to the kids. And so while we were in the airport, I was teaching them how Disney pin trading works. And so that was cute because they knew how to do it as soon as we got there. So we did make the best of it, but it was kind of hard because we had family from New Jersey and France, and even people from Colorado who took other airlines that were in Disney Springs having dinner at the reservation that I made for everyone. So,
oh my gosh, yeah, you don't mess with a bride like that. You know, that close to the wedding. Because I used to work in the wedding industry. We owned a mobile DJ company, and I did wedding receptions every night. And Ricky's family worked in the wedding industry here in St. Louis too. So that's one lesson I learned: is boy, don't mess with the bride, especially before the wedding. They're stressed. I mean, I can see, like, you took it well, but I could have seen somebody getting killed in that airport.
Yeah, I did not go bridezilla at all the whole week. Deal. So I just went with the flow. And, you know, what can you do? We tried to see if they were going to leave earlier, and they said they were going to try, but it didn't work out. So, you know, we even saw Peyton Manning in the airport, so that was pretty cool. we wouldn't have seen him if we weren't delayed.
I would have just said, chicken parm, you taste so good.
I thought of it after he passed. I didn't think of it in the moment. I was too shocked.
I love that guy. I love that guy. He's the worst. He's the worst best actor in the history of the world, so I love that guy. Good old Tennessee Vol. So, okay, so talk to us about, you finally get there. How's the time go leading up to the wedding? What kind of stuff do you do? Where do you stay?
Yeah, so we had, through Disney Weddings, you do a room block. But we had actually used a travel agent, which that got kind of complicated because Disney, well, unfortunately, I didn't know to use you at this point in time. And now I know you're the best travel agent in the world, so I switched over. But this other lady was not. So it was kind of difficult because Disney would have been a little bit better with customer service and getting things done. So I had to kind of stay on top of her and help my guests to figure things out because it just wasn't working out. But we did a room block through her because you got better perks. And we actually, some of our guests got free passes to a water park, and the tickets and the rooms were a little bit cheaper. So in the end, it was worth it for the guests, but it was just a little bit more work. But when you do a room block, you pick a couple of hotels. So we had All Star Movies, and then we had Coronado Springs, and we stayed at Coronado Springs, and then our guests were kind of split between the two.
Nice. Coronado Springs is, like, surprisingly romantic. Do you feel the same? I mean, I think it's just, it's really gorgeous in a weird way, because I don't really picture the American Southwest as being a beautiful place. Right. But something about Coronado Springs is just, it's like dark tones, but it's beautiful.
Oh, we love Coronado Springs. We've stayed there probably the last 5 times, and their pool's amazing. Their restaurants are amazing. They have the nice bar there. Just, you know, they were doing some construction while we were there, but I had done a lot of research, and I had requested to be in the casitas. And at that time, that was away from most of the construction. So that worked. And they actually gave us some really cool little pins that said, you know, under construction, that, and we're big into the Disney pins. So that was kind of cool to put up with a little bit of construction and get those souvenirs.
Yeah, I have mine sitting here right here, right as we're recording. So
cool.
They're still giving them out. I got them in April, and actually I'm there right now. That's where I'm staying, as Coronado. Again, I love that place, and the dig site pool, a-okay. It's pretty sweet. Okay, so let's talk about, you not to the wedding yet, but okay, you arrive, everybody's kind of having the meal at Disney Springs. What kind of, do you guys have a rehearsal dinner kind of like you do typically for a wedding? Do you have a wedding rehearsal? How's that all go?
Yeah, so we got in pretty late the first night since our flight was delayed, and then we just got up and started fresh the next day. And we went to Epcot. We had 30 people with us at Epcot that day. So that was pretty cool. And I just remember going from Test Track to Soarin', and I was at the head leading the group to Soarin', and my husband was herding people in the back. And I looked back, and I swear we stretched from Soarin' all the way to Touch Track with our people. So that was pretty cool. And then, yeah, I just remember, I know a lot of people say Soarin' isn't as good anymore now that they updated it, but oh, we had so much fun. I love Soarin', and we brought the kids on there, which it was their first trip, our little cousins, and they were just like, oh, this is the most amazing ride we've ever been on. We want to live there. We want to live there, and they had so much fun with it, so that was a lot of fun. So that Epcot day was really cool because not only did we have 30 people with us, but then we were running into our cousins from France and New Jersey and at Nemo, and it was just so much fun. Oh, so man, that was great. And then that night, we went to Cape May for our rehearsal dinner. And that was really great because when we were doing our reservations far in advance before the 180 days, I had done some research and I was able to get the phone number to Cape May at the beach club. And I was able to work with someone that was so awesome. And she actually was able to help me get reservations at that time for 75 people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Look,
you just have 2/3 of the restaurant.
Yeah. And, you know, then once we knew more about who was going to come, we were able to cancel some of those and it was more like 50 people. But yeah, we were in the back right corner. And when we got there, they pushed, you know, tables together for us and put us in one little section. And it was just so much fun. And we love the food there. And it's just a really nice location. And they even brought us a little Mickey cake since we were celebrating. So that was really cute. And then after that, a lot of Disney brides, they do firework dessert parties. So you can rent one of the terraces at Epcot to have your own dessert party, which, of course, why wouldn't you want to do that? But when we were researching the prices, they said, well, we could even do a simple pasta dinner and do your rehearsal dinner there, which I was out of my mind. That sounded amazing. But when they sent the prices, it was actually more expensive to do that than it would have been to eat at Cape May. And a lot of us were on the dining plan. So some of the family, you know, used their credits for that meal. And so that helped out a lot. And also just the food is outstanding. So we were just weighing our options and decided we'd rather have, you know, shrimp and lobster for a cheaper price than to have a simple pasta dinner, even though it would have been an amazing location. But then what we did was we planned our own firework party. And after we ate, then everyone who had a ticket just walked from the beach club into the back entrance of Epcot, and we had so much fun in the World Showcase, and then we went and watched Illuminations. So that's the affordable way to do your own dessert party.
Okay. I like the way you think, Holly. I like the way you think. This is good stuff because you got kind of the best of both worlds. You made it easy on your guests and affordable for your guests. Yeah, just something that just fits everybody's. And every time somebody brings up Cape May Cafe, my heart sinks a little because my family doesn't like seafood except for me. And even like my whole family, if we walk, because we, you know, we go to the beach club often to eat at Beaches and Cream or, you know, just to pass through. And every time we walk past Cape May, like my family's like, oh, it smells like seafood. I'm like, yes, it smells like seafood. Can we please eat here just one time? But one of these days I'm going to get over there. But it sounds like a great, I mean, because you're right. Because not only do you get a good meal, I've heard it's great at Cape May. But like you said, you took advantage of the location just to walk right into Epcot and enjoy the evening together as a group. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think your family might enjoy it because they even have like a kids buffet, which we like to eat off of too, but they have mac and cheese and chicken fingers and all that kind of stuff. But even on the adult buffet, they have, you know, prime rib, pasta, all kinds of stuff you can eat if you don't want seafood.
Oh, they don't like the smell, so I think I'm out of luck. Oh. Because it smells kind of fishy. I know. I've tried. Trust me, Holly. I've tried. I'm like, every place has, like, you know, some kind of hamburger. But, yeah, whatever. It's happening. Okay, so let's get to the good stuff. Okay, so let's talk about the big day. Okay, so you wake up, and it's the day of your Disney wedding. Walk us through this day. What's it like?
Okay, it's the wedding day. Well, it was very, very, very early. So hair and makeup came at 4 a.m.
Oh, my God. That's like a Run Disney race, only for Run Disney races. Who cares what you look like?
Yeah. When I first heard they were going to have to come at that time, I tried everything to make it later. But, you know, it worked out. It's just one day of your life. And it wasn't that difficult because we were so excited to wake up that early. And they came to the hotel room. So my maid of honor stayed in the room with me that night, and my husband went to stay with his groomsmen. And so they just came to the door, and then we let them in, and they did our hair and makeup. So that was kind of cool. And my other bridesmaids came over, and my mom and my grandma, and it was fun. We had gone the night before to get some, like, croissants and bagels and orange juice and stuff, so we had that ready for whoever could eat that early. and then we went, so they actually had a bus that came and picked up guests at All-Star Movies and then also Coronado Springs and took them there. And then we had a van that came to get the bridal party, and actually my husband and his groomsmen, they went first on the bus before any of the guests came, and then they took pictures of my husband and the groomsmen in, we got married in Canada, in Epcot, in the World Showcase. So they took their pictures. And then this is pretty cool for me. You know, my husband's not as big of a Disney geek, I guess, as I am. But they hid him in, like, the queue for the show there in Canada. So that was pretty cool. But then they brought us out and took pictures in the garden in Canada. So those turned out really nice. And then we got married in front of the waterfall there in Canada. And that was at 9 a.m. The ceremony starts there. So that was pretty cool. Just again, we were brought through the back entrance into the World Showcase. So, oh, I was just out of my mind excited because you're just walking in and you're in the World Showcase and no one's there but you. And I just kept saying, we're in Epcot. We're getting married in Epcot. So that was so much fun. And then, yeah, and the wedding was beautiful. There were a couple stray people walking through towards the end, and then they would just start taking our picture. So I kind of felt famous, but that was pretty cool. And then we all got on the bus again, and they took us backstage from Canada to the Living Seas Salon. So that's like a place where they have events, and one whole wall is the aquarium, that actually the other side of the aquarium is where you would go on the Nemo ride. So it's pretty cool. It was a very nice venue, and you had stingrays and sea turtles and all kinds of fish swimming by the whole time. So that was really cool.
Oh, man. I can just hear the excitement still in your voice, and I love hearing that. And I can tell you, with the early morning, I remember, because when I was in Jay and Melissa's wedding, I just remember that. God bless them. They got married outside at Seabreeze Point in July because they met on the first podcast cruise and they honeymooned with us on the second. And, you know, we always take the cruises in the summertime. So here we are. I remember I was putting on this big, thick tuxedo. I was like, I don't even like going outside in July at Walt Disney World in shorts and a t-shirt. It's so hot. And I got on this huge black tux and I was sweating like a pig. You know, Jay, obviously we all the groomsmen, we got our pictures taken over at the boardwalk and, you know, same thing. We couldn't see Melissa, you know, we had to make sure Jay didn't see Melissa. They hid her hair and we had to take Jay there and they got all their pictures, but it was so incredibly cool to be a part of that. I still thank them so much for including us. And like you said, though, with being married in Canada, I've never heard of anybody having a ceremony there. And I'll tell you what, that pavilion to me is one of the most beautiful spots anywhere on property. I don't care what you say. That garden is amazing. The waterfall is beautiful. Now, how do they like with venues? Because I don't know how this stuff works, but do they have like a catalog saying, okay, here's like this tier of venue. Then there's these, you know, because obviously I guess like Cinderella Castle would be like the top of the line or something. I don't know. How does it go with selecting a venue? Because I've never heard of Canada.
Yeah, if you go online to the Disney wedding website, they'll have, you kind of have to play around with it, but they'll have all the venues on there. So you can kind of look through and see. And, you know, I had been doing this well in advance, trying to figure out if we could do a Disney wedding, where would it be? And that was, Canada was the one I really wanted, but just because we love Epcot so much and we love early entry to the park so much, and that was kind of like the ultimate early entry was to be able to have your wedding in Epcot. But yeah, you can get married in like the American Pavilion inside the Rotunda, but that one you need to have a lot of people, like I think maybe 150 as your minimum count. And that's only done at nighttime. So I know people kind of have like their appetizers when they do illuminations and then they go in and have dinner after that. So we weren't going to have that many people and that was kind of late for us to do it. So we didn't do it there, but that's beautiful. You can get married in Morocco or China, but then it's really a maximum of, I think it's maybe 20 people. So we had more than that. So it's just kind of a matter of finding the perfect venue for you and then what fits your guest count. And also, yes, price, because then they also have the wedding pavilion, which is beautiful, but and it is unique to Disney because you can see the Magic Kingdom from there. But I was thinking if you're going to get married at Disney World, you want to get married somewhere where you can't at another location. Yeah. So you could kind of find a wedding pavilion or a church that looks similar. Probably not as nice because it's Disney, but yeah, I wanted to do something that no one has seen before.
So. I love that idea, though, because like you said, I mean, you know, how unique are those pictures? You know, it looks, I mean, I would think your pictures slightly kind of look like Colorado, though, because I think of the terrain of the Canada Pavilion, like the backdrop is semi-mountainous, correct? I mean, does it, yeah, it almost kind of looks like home, I would guess, a little.
Yeah, well, you know, my parents would have loved for me to get married in the mountains, so then I threw them a little bone with the trees and the water fountain there. But yeah, but then we could leave and go to the Living Sea Salon and, you know, the next day go to the parks. And so, yeah, it was just the whole package. It was the best week of my life.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. So we have a few minutes left. So talk to us about once the wedding's over, though, because I know that it's like, you know, you've had this year of planning, you're taking care of all the details. And, you know, even though it's you and your husband's big day, you're always worried about your guests. You want to make sure everybody's having a good time. Everybody's, you know, just, it's also fun for them. You're kind of the, like you said, you know, you're taking everybody from Test Track to Soarin', and you're kind of the tour guide, your husband and yourself, and getting everybody from here to there. Once the wedding happens, though, and you know, you're now Mr. and Mrs. and you're ready to go and have fun, the pressure's off. I mean, was that kind of the ultimate? Now let's go have fun at Walt, because you're at your favorite place. I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, well, I know some people, when their wedding is over, they're sad because, oh, we planned for a year and now everything's over. But for me, I was like, oh, we still get to go to Animal Kingdom and, We hadn't been to Pandora yet, so that was one of our next stops. So I was just really excited and still on cloud nine the whole time. But yeah, people kind of trickled off. So I think our first park day, we went to Epcot and we had 30 people with us. Then the next day we went to Magic Kingdom and there were 20 people with us. And then the next day was the wedding. And actually that night was a lot of fun because we got married so early in the morning. We went, and since we were staying at Coronado Springs, we ate at your favorite place, Maya Grill,
yes,
for dinner.
Now you're oh yeah, that's every trip deserves a Maya Grill.
Yeah, and it was great. They were really great because when we were doing the dining reservations, it took a lot of research because each restaurant has a maximum number of people that you can make a reservation for, but you can make multiple reservations. You just have to have many people in your party have accounts, so you can make the reservations under their names, and then when you get there you can tell them, oh, we have these three reservations, but if it's possible, can you put the tables together? But for Maya Grill, we had, you know, most of our guests coming since that was the wedding night, so I had actually gotten the number to Coronado Springs, their dining department, through Disney Dining, and so I was able to talk with them and let them know ahead of time and email them and just say, okay, these are all the reservations we have for Maya Grill and we'll be coming at this time, can you get us together? And it was, they were so awesome. They got us all in, you know, when you walk in there's kind of like a little room towards the back. It's open still to the rest of the restaurant, but it's blocked off by some walls, and they got us all in that little room, and we had about 50 people in there, and that was really nice. And actually the night before the wedding we ate at Las Ventanas, the little restaurant that's at Coronado Springs, and they were waiting for us with two long tables when we got there because I think we only had 20 people that night. But so they're really great to work with. So if you go with a large group, that's the way to do it, is to try to make as many reservations as you can, even if you call Disney Dining and they're like, we can't make a reservation for that many people. Because even at Hollywood Studios, we ate at the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. And so we made like three reservations of 12. And then they got, I think we had less than that when it ended up being, we canceled some of them. But they got us in three cars in a row. So that was pretty good. So never give up. Just do your research and you can figure out how to get that many people there. But it was kind of difficult doing it in the beginning because I don't think they're used to having groups of 60 travel together there.
No, but that's a great tip to give everybody, whether you're down, you know, with a wedding or what have you, if you have a larger group, it's if you can call the restaurant directly, and sometimes you got to call them during business hours, but if you Google the restaurant's name and if you can't find the number for the restaurant, call the resort where the restaurant is located. Like you said, call Coronado Springs, speak to someone there. They can usually give you the numbers for their restaurants and so forth. And the thing is, communication is key. A lot of times, I mean, they're in customer service. They want you to be happy, and they know that. I think it helps them to be prepared when you show up with that many people that, okay, at least we know these people are together. We can maybe get a serving team instead of just one server, have, you know, coordinate three or four servers working as a team to take care of your entire party. Again, communication's key, but this can be done. That's a great way to be proactive for a great experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you just have to make those calls and they will do it. Although some of the restaurants won't necessarily work with you, because I called a lot of restaurants in Disney Springs and they wanted a you kind of had to spend a minimum amount and they would give you a private room. But I was saying, oh, no, we have the dining plan. We just want a reservation for this many. We're not paying for everyone every night. But they wouldn't necessarily work with you. But then that's when you go and you make multiple reservations under different names.
That's what we do every race weekend. We show up at Kona with like 45 of us, but it's funny. It's funny because we only have like 8 in every reservation, but then we, you know, it's like, oh, Florence has one, I have one, Pam has one, Ricky, you know, that's a good tip. So we're just about out of time, and this has been such a fun trip. I'm picturing the Canada. I can't believe I've never thought again. It's so beautiful over there. So looking back on the entire process, you know, almost a year ago now, and I'm sure there's folks listening today that are considering a Disney wedding, maybe some that are even planning their Disney wedding. Having been there, done that, what tip would you give somebody that's in the process or getting close to doing this? What did you learn that you wish you would have known going into this?
Well, I would say if anyone wants to do it, they should listen to your podcast for Disney trip planning. And they should also listen to the Disney wedding podcast for wedding tips, because I learned so much and saved so much money from listening to both of those podcasts that really helped me. And I think, honestly, I'm not sure, but I would say, well, those are big things. And then also, just go with the flow and have fun, because you can be planning for a year. And this is a good example, as we had, I think, 20 people at Magic Kingdom, and I had it all planned out. I had everyone's fast passes booked, and we went, and our first ride, Space Mountain, was down. So then we went on Buzz Lightyear, and that was great. But then we went to go on Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, and because Space Mountain was down, then Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor wasn't open yet. I didn't know they didn't open when the park opened, so we couldn't go there. So even though you're planning for a year, you still have to kind of plan on the spur of the moment. And it worked out just fine. But you just kind of have to roll with the punches and don't let little things bother you. Because then, even though we had booked our reservations at Yak and Yeti the same way we did with all the other places, they had us wait for an hour to get our tables together. And because of that, we had to miss the new nighttime show at Animal Kingdom. So that was a bummer. But we were still able to go to Pandora at nighttime and use our fast passes for Flight of Passage. And that was amazing. We had so much fun there. So you just kind of have to roll with the punches and know, hey, we'll just plan another trip and we'll get to see the nighttime show another time.
Best advice ever, whether you're at a Disney wedding or not. If you're just down there for fun, just roll with the punches, because, you know, it is what you make of it. So, Holly, I appreciate this so much. It's been so fun hearing about your wedding. And I know you guys have a Disney cruise here planned, you know, this winter. So we're going to have to talk about that when you get back, because I think you'll have plenty of stories to share about that one as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, now we're expecting our first child, and she'll be going on the cruise as soon as she can when she's 6 months old. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, I'd love to come and share stories about how to do a cruise with a 6 month old.
I've been there, done that. It's not as bad as you would think. They're more trouble when they're three.
I've heard that.
They definitely are. Well, Holly, thanks so much. Hopefully you're cooling off out there in Colorado, and happy 4th of July to you and the family.
Thank you. Same to you. Have fun in Disney.
I sure will. Don't forget today's show brought to you by two great sponsors, thewisdomofwalt.com, two awesome books, All American Guy, Walt Disney. He is the true American. Hear about he turned his dreams into reality out of Disneyland. He planned Walt Disney World. Roy finished it for him. But both books, you know, walk us through Walt's life and how he inspired those around him. And there's a lot of little checkpoints in these books to help you become better with your relationships with those people around you. So check them out this weekend and this week over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And like I said at the top of the show, it is distinctly unpatriotic to wait in lines, people. You want to get on those attractions and have a good time. Right now is the busiest time of the year down at Walt Disney World. So have a good time and stay out of line with our friends over at touringplans.com. 365 days of great information to steer you the right direction for the cost of a couple turkey legs. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, we're down at Walt Disney World right now, so give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And of course, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And thanks to everybody who keeps supporting the show with our Amazon affiliate link. Just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online purchases. All right, time to get, I'm going to go ride, I'll probably ride Space Mountain today, so I got to get going here. So for Holly, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday and happy 4th of July, everybody. Until we see you again on Wednesday for more listener questions, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.